All right, we're going to go ahead and check out our DVD and take about 8 minutes, and then we'll reflect on some questions for today.
Debbie remembered her early childhood as being filled with laughter and happiness. But when she was 6 years old, her father left home with no explanation. And for the next 20 years, Debbie never heard from him, not one word. Debbie grew up, and with a degree in hand and plenty of expectations, she went searching for her perfect job. But her dreams didn't materialize in the way she had hoped. Debbie's funds quickly ran low. Desperate for some income, she answered an ad to be a live-in cook and a maid. Her new boss was the most cantankerous, bitter, unthankful person she had ever met. His mean ways had driven his family away from him years ago. Debbie learned that they had done something to upset him in the past, and now he harbored a grudge against them. Some days, it seemed as if the man had hired her just so he could have someone to argue with. On most days, she ended their time together with a threat to quit and walk out. But she persevered. And over time, her situation caused her to reflect back on her own life, all the resentment she held against her own father, and how it had kept her from letting people into her life, sharing love and being thankful. Debbie realized that if she continued down this path of resentment toward her father, she would end up just like her boss. Debbie surprised herself one day when she looked at the grumpy old man and realized she actually cared for him. She wanted to see him have happiness in his life. She wanted him to reconcile with his kids so they didn't have to go through life as she had, with an empty hole in their hearts. As she did this, something began to shift in her. Instead of focusing on the despair she felt because her life wasn't going as planned, she began to ask God to use her and began to choose prayer over despair. Up until this point in the passage, the Apostle Paul has been assuring us of God's character. We can depend on His sovereignty, His mercy, His presence. But now, He calls us to take action. He calls us, like Debbie, to choose prayer over despair and be thankful. "Do not be anxious about anything," he writes, "but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Notice some of the words Paul uses here: prayer, supplication, requests. The terms are similar, but they're not identical. Prayer is a general devotion. It includes acts of worship and adoration. Supplication suggests humility. We are the supplicants, demands we simply offer humble requests. A request is simply that, a specific petition. We tell God what we want. We pray the particulars of our problem, much like Peter did one night when he and the other disciples found themselves caught in a storm on a raging sea. In the last session, we discussed how Paul tells us to let our gentleness be evident to all. I think we can all agree that when we picture a cool, calm, gentle character in the Bible, Peter doesn't rise on the list. The man was nitroglycerin. If you bumped him the wrong way, he blew up. He made a living with his hands and got in trouble with his mouth. But while Peter didn't know much about self-control, he knew quite a bit about being a fisherman. And he knew not to get caught in a storm, which is exactly what happened one night. The disciples were out fishing on the Sea of Galilee when the winds began to roar down the water like a hawk on a rat. Streaks of lightning zigzag across the black sky. The clouds vibrate with thunder. The rain taps, then pops, then slaps against the deck of the boat until all the disciples are soaked and shaking. And you can be sure the one with the widest eyes is the one with the biggest biceps. Peter's seen these storms before. He's seen the wreckage and bloated bodies float to shore. He knows what the fury of the wind and wave can do. I think we could say he's feeling anxious. which is why when he sees Jesus walking on the water toward the boat, he is the first to say, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." Now, some say this request is just a request for verification, and Peter wants to prove the one they see is really Jesus and not just anyone who might be on a stroll across a storm-tossed sea in the middle of the night. You can't be too careful, you know. So Peter clears his throat and calmly asks, "Jesus, if you would kindly demonstrate your power and prove your divinity by calling me out on the water with you, I would be most appreciative." I don't buy it. I think Peter's trying to save his neck. He's aware of two things. He's going down and Jesus is staying up, and it doesn't take him too long to decide where he would rather be. "Come on," is the invitation. Peter doesn't have to be told twice. You know, it's not every day you walk on stormy seas, but when faced with the alternative of sure death or possible life, Peter knows which one he wants. The first few steps go well. As long as he focuses on the face of Christ, he does the impossible. As long as he recognizes Christ as the sovereign Lord over the wind and the waves, he walks on the water. But when he shifts his gaze to the force of the storm and gives in to his anxieties, he starts to sink like a stone. It's here that we learn Peter knew a thing or two about prayer. "Lord, save me," he cries out. Sure, it's not as eloquent as the prayers of David that we read in the book, Job Done. And Jesus doesn't delay. He reaches down and he pulls Peter back to the surface. Peter's simple request shows us the power of prayer is not in chanting the right formula or quoting some secret code, but in the heart of the one praying. God is not manipulated or impressed by formulas or eloquence, but he is moved by sincere requests. After all, is he not our Father? As his children, we honor him when we tell him exactly what we need. But why is it important to be specific with our requests? Well, I think there are at least three reasons. First, a specific prayer is a serious prayer. Let's say you need help with a problem at work. If you say to your friend, "Do you mind if I come by your house sometime?" it doesn't communicate the urgency of the request. But if you say, "Can I come over Friday at 7 p.m.? I have a serious problem at work, and I really need your advice," your friend knows your petition is sincere. When we offer specific requests, God knows the same. Second, specific prayer provides an opportunity to see God at work. When you pray, "God, please help me with this problem at work," it doesn't allow you to see how God will specifically and personally answer you. But if you say, "God, allow my supervisor to be open to what I have to say during the meeting tomorrow and not react in anger and agree to work with me on the plan," it enables you to witness how God will meet each of those specific petitions. Third, specific prayer creates a lighter load. Many of our anxieties are threatening because they are ill-defined and vague. But if we can dis-phrase, we bring it down to size. It is one thing to pray, "Lord, please bless my meeting tomorrow." It's another to pray, "Lord, I have a conference with my supervisor at 2 p.m. tomorrow. She intimidates me. Would you please grant me a spirit of peace so I can sleep well tonight? Grant me wisdom so I can enter the meeting prepared. And would you soften her heart toward me?" There. You've reduced the problem into a prayer-sized challenge. Here's what this looks like in my life, on my good days at least. I begin my morning with a cup of coffee and a conversation with God. I look ahead and make my requests. "I am meeting with so-and-so at 10 a.m. Would you give me wisdom? This afternoon, I need to finish my sermon. Would you please go ahead of me?" If a sense of stress surfaces during the day, I remind myself, "Oh, I gave this challenge to God earlier today. He has already taken responsibility for it." I like how Peter puts it. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.